Bertemu kembali pada minggu lepas, Bank Negara Malaysia kekalkan kadar dasar semalaman OPR pada 1.75%. Pada minggu lepas juga, Setiausaha Perbendaharaan Amerika Janet Yellen turut berpendapat yang kadar faedah Amerika boleh dinaikkan untuk elak ekonomi terbesar dunia itu daripada meluap. Dalam masa yang sama, kita saksikan harga minyak sawit mentah untuk kontrak Julai meningkat kepada RM4,400 satu tan. Ini adalah pelbagai perkara yang berlaku pada minggu lepas yang kita ingin melihat kepada perkembangan ini, dan tentunya unjuran KDNK suku pertama yang akan diumumkan esok. Kita bersama dengan Shan Syed, Ketua Pakar Ekonomi JUI IQI. Shan, the Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said, I quote, interest rates will have to rise somewhat to make sure that our economy or the US economy doesn't overheat. Unquote. Do you think she has the right to talk about this, especially with the market in the U.S. that was really sensitive? We saw how markets stumbled about 2% immediately after she said that. What do you think, Shan?
Rizal, in the first place, the Treasury Secretary is not supposed to talk about the interest rate and implied inflation. It is always the Fed Chair who would talk about these things. I was surprised, but at the same time, if you look at Janet Yellen history, when she was the chair during her time, there was an article ran by Economist magazine on October 2015. The title of that article was Funny Numbers, that markets did not believe what Janet Yellen was saying. And at the same time, when she is in the Treasury Secretary, markets are not very excited. But again, she tried to interfere in Fed's domain by talking about inflation, and that's how the markets stumbled. The markets did not expect the Treasury Secretary to talk about it, and she started talking about it, and then she walked back. So I think Janet Yellen is in the habit of poking her nose and entering into the domain of other people's department. That is very, very surprising.
But are there signs that the U.S. economy is overheating? What signs would you look out or would you look for as an economist?
If you see Rizal, the economy has been showing signs of inflation not only this year, since last year. Every commodity you pick up, food prices, washing machine, freezer, the prices are going up. But now Fed has finally acknowledged, and it is coming out in the market. In the last 1 year, Fed has printed 25% of the dollar that has been circulated in the market. Fed has printed that. So when you have too much of dollar circulation in the market, obviously that is bound to take inflation into account. And even right now, the Fed is saying for first quarter, the inflation numbers is 2.6. If you remove food prices and energy from core inflation, the inflation is much higher. It is not 2.6%. So I think, again, the figures coming out of Fed, they are quite questionable. So I think the inflation is showing its head. It will get much higher. And now the market is expecting that, are we going back to the same era of 1970s when US experienced stagflation? That higher inflation, low growth, and higher unemployment. I wouldn't be surprised that U.S. economy experiences the same stagflation after 51 years.
Well, consumers will surely feel the pinch, right?
Absolutely, Rizal. If you pick up yesterday's Wall Street Journal, consumers are already feeling the pinch and they are holding on to their consumption. And what is a sign that consumers are holding on to their consumption? 2 years back, the saving to GDP ratio in US was 7%. As of today, when I speak to you, the saving to GDP ratio has gone up to 20%. Despite the stimulus, despite the handouts given by the government to people, people are not consuming money. And most of the stimulus amount that consumers have got in US, people are actually offloading and they are lowering their debts. So when you are deleveraging, you are not contributing anything to the economy goes into subpar growth. So what Fed chair is saying that we will not experience inflation is absolutely delusional. Inflation is back. Warren Buffett is acknowledging in his annual meeting that inflation is coming back very sharply, and obviously everybody is raising price and consumers are holding on to their consumption, which is not good for the economy.
So let's go back to what Janet Yellen said earlier, and factors including weekly job figures, which were okay until perhaps last Friday. More people are now being vaccinated in the US, and they have the recent stimulus package and also a few more stimulus packages in the future. So won't this push the economy to perhaps overheat, and maybe according to Yellen, it's a good time for the U.S. to perhaps think of increasing its interest rates?
Right now, if you ask me, Rizal, if they raise interest rate, U.S. economy can't take the pressure. Mm-hmm. She just made one statement and the market went down by 2%. Let's take a scenario if Fed raises the interest rate by 25 to 50 basis point. The question is, can market take the pressure of higher borrowing costs? The answer is no. The markets are not in a mood to take higher cost. And the worst place to be in this point of time is the bond market. And everybody is saying if US interest goes up, I think bond market will suffer, the equity market will suffer. Already the mortgage rates are going up and mortgage market is on the hold. So I think with US at the moment, they can't raise the interest rate. If they raise the interest rate, obviously the economy will take the hit and we will see investors will get nervous, and that will create panic in the market.
So let's talk about the dollar. The dollar index has fallen about 2.78% year to date. What's causing the dollar to fall if the US economy is booming or on its way to recovery, as said by Jerome Powell?
Right now, if you ask me, there are two factors. One is Fed is tactically want US dollar to depreciate because they want to boost the export. The market is very tight. The global economy is still not in the growth mode, is still not in the recovery mode. Global economy is still struggling. Half of the global economy has not even opened. So I think one is that US Fed is going through this tactical move. The second, US dollar is getting the beating in the market, is the emergence of digital yuan. As you know, digital yuan will be coming in the market in the next 2 to 3 quarters. Mm. The Chinese government is ready. The PBOC, the People's Bank of China, is ready with the framework and with the policy outlook. And eventually, digital yuan will enter into the financial markets. And the market is expecting digital yuan to have a significant market share at the very start. As you know, Russia and China are moving away their reserves from US dollar into gold and yuan. Mm-hmm. And I'm not surprised that any time, we can expect any time, Russia and China, once they hit 4,000 or 5,000 metric tons of gold, they will announce in the market that we are ready and we are going back to Chinese yuan and we are delinking our reserves from US dollar. That will take a significant hit to the US dollar market share in the financial markets. And the markets are already anticipating that Chinese yuan will, once it enters in the market, many countries will be able to join and they will see digital yuan growing at a very fast pace.
Sean, let's talk about commodities. We are now seeing the commodities prices bull run. The CPO was traded, or the crude palm oil was traded around 4,400 ringgit per ton last week. Do you think this bull run will continue until 2022?
Absolutely, Rizal. Bull run will continue because economies are going up. Supply chain is having problem. So once the demand goes up, supply chain is having problems. The supply can't keep pace with demand. You pick up any commodity, corn, food prices, oil, soybean, all the prices are going up. So I think this bull run in commodities will go up. And countries that are commodity-based currencies will benefit from this bull run. And this bull run will continue for the next 2 years.
But Shan, global recovery is happening at a slower, much, much slower pace. And there's this stop and go state with COVID-19 variant and also lack of social distancing, causing some countries like Malaysia to go to another MCO. Despite being targeted, do you foresee challenging times ahead for countries like Malaysia, countries like India, countries that are opening their economies too fast right now?
Absolutely. I think, Rizal, these challenging times are not over. A lot of multilateral organizations were saying that 2021, the economies will be booming. At Jui, IQI, we have been sharing that many economy in the world, they are still struggling. More than 50% of the economies have not even procured the medicine. So imagine you have 195 countries, and more than 95 countries have not even ordered for vaccine. Only very few countries are ordering for vaccine, and very few countries are giving vaccine to the people. So I think global economy will continue to face this challenge. I don't see that global economy will recover before 2023, and many economies will have some tough time going forward.
And let's talk about the BNM, or the Bank Negara Malaysia, maintaining the OPR rate. What's your view on that? How would you rate BNM's stance in the current scenario, taking into account the global economic fragilities, as you mentioned?
Rizal, Bank Negara reduced discount rate by 125 basis points last year. That was enough because every policy lever that the central bank undertakes, it takes good 12 to 15 months for that policy instrument to make an impact. Mm-hmm. Now it is the fiscal side. So I think Bank Negara is on hold, and they want to see how fiscal stimulus announced by the government will make an impact. So overall, in these challenging times, one policy instrument like monetary policy or fiscal policy cannot do the magic. I think, in my opinion, both monetary policy and fiscal policy, the amalgamation of both these policies can spur growth and can keep macroeconomic stability, which is required not only by local investors, but by global investors as well. Overall, I think Bank Negara has done a good job taking into account the lockdown started since 18th March last year. Bank Negara has played its card very intelligently, and they have used monetary policy in a very effective manner so that they still have room to maneuver as we move along, because, as I said, there are still challenging times ahead for the next 2 years.
And Shan, finally, BNM will also announce the first quarter KDNK or GDP figures tomorrow. What can we expect and what will you focus on when you read the announcement tomorrow?
If you look at four variables, you have consumption, you have investment, you have net of export and government. Out of these four factors, two factors are quite good. Consumption is picking up because the economy is opening up, and the export numbers have been pretty strong, and they are rising for the last 4 months, which really give boost to Malaysia's overall GDP. However, the investment numbers are a bit lower, on the lower side. That can make an impact. But overall, I think the GDP number will have some positive outcome on the overall economy.
On that note, thank you very much, Shan. Saya Ketua Pakar Ekonomi Jual IQI, bincangkan berkenaan dengan beberapa data ekonomi yang diumumkan pada minggu lepas dan juga yang akan diumumkan pada hari esok. Kita akan berehat seketika kembali selepas ini.